Morning. Trust you're doing well this time in your life and flourishing in every way. And that the areas that where we may be challenged, that the Word of God may speak to our hearts here on this morning. Scripture this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 8. We almost got it right in the bulletin. Or chapter 18, that is. 18, verses 10 through 11. So you'll need to turn to page 687 in your Pew Bible, or use the Pew Bible, or use the overhead shortly, as I put the verses overhead for us. This is a good scripture for us to consider this morning, because you live in a world, and if your world is anything at all like the other people's worlds, then you have your challenges in life. There may be a relationship problem that you have to deal with. Some of you may be facing a health issue that you never had before. Fortunately, I'm 9 years celebrating a kidney transplant, so I'm good to go now. Trust I'll have no issues this year, but you never know. You might wake up one morning and both your kidneys have failed, and you don't even know it. Some of you may wake up tomorrow and find that, hey, you've been given 2 weeks' notice. It may have nothing to do with your performance. Have a whole lot to do with the economy or the students enrolled in your program. Some of you may wake up and give thanks that you're not living in Liberia or some other Central African country. There are huge problems that our world faces, and those faces change in each generation, each time period, and they change sometimes from day to day in our lives. And the world is sprinkled with problems. And so it's no wonder that Romans 8:22 and following puts it this way for us. We know that up to the present time, all the creation groans with pain, like the pain of childbirth. But it is not just creation alone which groans. We who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts also groan within ourselves as we wait for God to make us His children and set our whole being free. Groaning for liberation. When we really discover what it means to be a child of God in the fullest sense of the word. Thankfully, the world is not only sprinkled with problems, which, by the way, can help us, but it's also sprinkled with provisions, many provisions. Psalm 103 puts it this way, as you recall, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Do not forget His benefits that have been sprinkled down upon you, especially when that one sprinkle drops right upon your head. The world is sprinkled with God's provisions. Psalm 104, and I chose to read from the Today's Living Bible, simply because of the freshness to me. Sometimes you read, you hear things, and you don't listen, or you don't hear, because they've been said that same way before so many times that you've been dulled. Psalm 104 tells us of the sprinkling of God's provisions. Verse 10 and following. "He placed springs in the valleys and streams that gushed from the mountains. They give water for all the animals to drink. There the wild donkeys quench their thirst, and the birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. He sends rain upon the mountains and fills the earth with fruit. The tender grass grows up at His command to feed the cattle. And there are fruit trees, there are vegetables and grain for humans to cultivate, and wine to make him glad, and olive oil as lotion for his skin, and bread to give him strength. The Lord planted the cedars of Lebanon. They are tall and flourishing. There are the birds. There the birds make their nests, and the storks in the firs. High in the mountains are pastures for the wild goats, and rock badgers burrow in among the rocks and find protection there. He assigned the moon to mark the months and the sun to mark the days. He sends the night and the darkness when all the forest folk come out. Then the young lions roar for their food. But they are dependent on the Lord. At dawn they slink back into their dens to rest. And men go off to work until the evening shadows fall again. O Lord, what a variety you have made. And in wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your riches. There before me lies the mighty ocean, teeming with life of every kind, both great and small. And look, see the ships. And over there, the whale you made to play in the sea. Every one of these depends on you to give them their daily food. You supply it. They gather it. You open wide your hand to feed them. And they are satisfied with all your bountiful provision. But if you, God, turn away from them, then all is lost. How can we be anything but thankful for the provisions that God sprinkles down upon us with all His many provisions? Proverbs 18, please stand for the Word of God. Proverbs 18, 10 and 11 say, "The Lord's name, Yahweh, is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and find refuge. The riches of the wealthy are a strong city, and like a high wall in their imagination." The Word of God and the Scripture for our meditation this morning. Please be seated. By the way, in case you're worried about the late reading of the Scripture, we are well into the sermon. I've chosen to speak to verse 11 first. The world is sprinkled with problems, but it is also sprinkled with provisions. We have two approaches that we could take. You have a choice as you face a problem in your life. You can run to the provider, or you can run to the provision as a first response. The temptation for us as human beings is to first run to the provision and ignore the provider. And for some, it may become a habit, not a healthy one. The riches of the wealthy are a strong city, and like a high wall in their imagination. Isn't it wonderful to have things, good things, Isn't it wonderful to have resources that you can count upon, a savings account, a portfolio, especially as you get older? Isn't it wonderful to have friends, a network of people that you can rely upon as you're in need? Isn't it wonderful to have a job? Some of you have retired, you say it's not so wonderful. But when you had the job and you were younger, it was a good thing, wasn't it? Or to have a child, or a spouse, or to be single and free and not have those responsibilities. Blessings. So you have time on your hand, perhaps. Maybe some money in your pocket. Some health. The mistake, however, when we are privileged with these blessings is to run to the provision and ignoring the provider. And let me point out several reasons why this is a wrong approach for us to mistakenly fall into. One, limitations. Limitations. If you have wealth, if you have resources, which is are from God, and if we run first to them and we gain our security there, the problem is they are like a wall. What's the problem with a wall? Even a high wall. Problems can climb over the wall, like ivy, right? Or like people. Or they can actually dig under the wall. They may go into through your aqueduct system. Bypass the wall altogether. You know, in the time of Christ, the walls of Jerusalem were thick and they were 40 feet high. Josephus says that some of them were 52 feet high in the air. And so when the enemy would come, you know, man, not much chance of getting inside to harm the people. So many thought. And of course, we know what happened in the spring of 70 AD under General Titus and the Romans. They virtually sacked Jerusalem and brought the city down to its knees, including the Second Temple. And the walls of protection, though big, strong, and mighty, did not help. Limitations. We don't know if the stock market is going to have another 1929. It could happen. Where is your confidence? I'm not saying don't invest in stock. I'm saying, where is your heart's bottom line investment? Where is your bottom line security? You're walking around today, many of you, some of you listening to this sermon later online aren't walking, but those of you who are healthy and walking around, tomorrow you're not guaranteed that you're going to be walking around. You may be in bed the rest of your life. Limitations. I love the medicines we have in America. A lot of people, some of them, they have some issues, though, side effects and so forth. But we have so many blessings, right, that we can do with medicines. And if you have money and you can get resources, you can get a lot of this help towards you. And the problem with medicines are that, hey, you know, after a while, they may not work. All of a sudden, you find out you're resistant to them. Or something else is learn how to figure out a medicine and mutated and medicine won't work like it used to anymore. Resources have their limitations. Second problem with trusting in our provisions first has to do with presumption. Presumption. Not just limitation, but presumption. We just read from the psalm where our provisions come from, didn't we? So we have on our street in the past, years back, a stray cat. Shows up on our doorstep. Now, I know some of you have a different opinion on stray cats. You probably wouldn't put a little bowl of milk out like some of us have done in the past. When our kids were home, put a little bowl of milk out so the cat comes and enjoys the milk. Looking a little bit scrawny, feeling a little sorry for him, give him something, right? Well, did that a couple days in a row. Guess what? After 3 or 4 days, the cat thinks I have a contract with it. Yeah, it now thinks it's wearing, you know, something with my address around its neck. There's no address around its neck. In fact, there's no collar around this cat's neck. But he's showing up. And I suspect he's thinking I'm under obligation now to give this stray cat, whom I have don't know his name, don't know where he came from. We have no formal relationship whatsoever. A bit presumptuous to be showing up. In fact, he's actually trespassing. I could call that guy with a little thing, you know, where they show him sticking, catch him and get him with a net or whatever they do. Cat catcher. Dog catcher, something. And so it is with you. And we have forfeited. You have forfeited your right to receive anything from God unless you've reconnected through Christ. That's a whole other story. But think about it. We as a human race have forfeited any right to eat, to drink, to have fresh air, clean water, friends, health. It's all a gift. Do you understand? How dare we presume that God is under an obligation to give us anything since we have disqualified ourselves with our own frailed, faulty, sinful hearts. We've sinned in thought, word, and deed. The Scripture says our righteousness, our goodness, is as filthy rags in God's eyes. That's what we're told. It doesn't sound too good to the world. How can He say our righteousness are filthy rags? I'm just quoting from Isaiah 66. Any good thing we do deserves nothing, because it's always tainted within with something else that's not quite right. We're faulted through to the core. And even now in Christ, we're only acceptable by faith in Him, not by anything we ourselves have achieved, having become Christian. So God, as we think about Him and His provisions, let's not depend on them too much, okay? Because we're rather presumptuous to think that they will be there tomorrow. Because they may not be there tomorrow. They are a gift, and He makes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the believer and the unbeliever. He freely does it because He has a general kindness to all of us. But under no obligation except where He has obligated Himself by promise in this book. Then He's obligated. And thirdly, imagination. Not just limitation. And not just presumption, but imagination. For us to approach life trusting in our provisions, it's just a figment of our imagination that it's actually going to work. When you're a a child, and I have grandchildren. I had children. You know how kids are. They like to play like tag or lion, right? Using your imagination. It's fun. And you go, oh, no, I'm scared. Right? Because a little child, oh. Or you play, they play like an elephant. There's the trunk, and it's fun. When you get older, you get a little more sophisticated, right? You play other games. You may, like me, you tell yourself one day you're going to beat the best pool player in the world. You actually get a chance to play him as he comes and puts on an exhibition in your pool room. And then you're completely humiliated. As he barely get a shot. You know, I made like a few balls. I shot and made a few balls. And he just basically spent about 45 minutes just running rack after rack. And I'm sitting there like so humiliated. Or maybe you can connect with this. When you're younger, you're dreaming, and many young people do this, young guys, perhaps. They're thinking it's the World Series. It's the seventh game. And you're down by 3 runs. Your bases are loaded. 2 outs, 3 balls, 2 strikes. You are at bat. It is you. It is all up to you to win the World Series. And the pitch comes, right? And you know what the imagination is going to say, right? You are not going to be striking out, you understand? You will be hitting that home run, and the crowd will be cheering. Wow, how great he is. What a wonderful player. He saved the day. All in our imagination. All in our imagination. And so it is when we think that we can actually solve even one problem of life, relying upon the provision without relying upon the provider. You understand? We can't solve one problem without His kindness toward us. We may think we solved it ourselves, and somehow we bypass God. And we simply, oh yeah, I got this money, I did it this way. Or I worked hard and I got my pay and I used my pay. That's how it's solved. Yeah, well, kind of. But not really, because He's always the bottom line. The riches of the wealthy are a strong city and like a high wall, but it's in their imagination. Jeremiah 9:23 says this following, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him boast, let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Fortunately, the believer, when we're in our right minds, we who have been declared righteous in Christ, you know, we have His perfect life record, we're acceptable based on His finished work. Now we are upright and righteous, and we are beautifully morally right in God's eyes through faith in Christ. Fortunately, the believer, when we're thinking right, we remember to run to the provider and not just provision. We understand why we have a job. We understand why our child is healthy. We understand why our spouse hasn't left us. We understand why we can live on $10 a day, and that's all we need. We understand why we're able to get out of bed and try our best during the day, and how we can stay on a diet for a week. You understand it's God helping us. We're looking into the provider. He is our reservoir. He is our resource. I love what Psalm 145 says. I'll spend about another 5 minutes here with you, but I love what Psalm 145 says. It says in verse 3, I believe it is. Great is the Lord. His greatness no one can measure. His greatness no one can measure. You know the great thing about trusting the provider and not just the provision? There's no limits. How high is the wall that God builds? How high is the wall of His wealth? How high, how much strength does He have? You know, what are we going to measure it with? You see, He has infinite resources. And that's why we'll always be safe, trusting in Him, relying upon Him. Reasons to use this approach to always, as believers in our right minds, to be running to Him, to His name, is because He is our strong tower. The Lord's name, Yahweh, is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and find refuge. I want to talk for a minute about relationship. Somebody asked, why do we have problems? One of the big things has to do, I believe, has to do with relationship. And your new associate pastor put it this way. He said, God loves us so much that He doesn't want us to get too comfortable. It's pretty much a paraphrase. God doesn't want us to get too comfortable because He wants us to live in relationship with Him. You understand? So we feel some pain. We have these problems. We keep running back to the provider and remembering that He is everything we need and always living our life trusting in Him. Moreover, in that relationship, it gives us meaning in life. It's when we try to live a life facing problems and addressing them, independent of God, just with the money, just with the job, just with the health, and we're living somehow with a disconnect from God, it has no depth or meaning. But it's only in relationship with Him. The Apostle John 13:25, we see John and Jesus next to him, and John's leaning on his breast, isn't he? That's what God wants, a relationship where we're leaning on Christ. Or we think of the little children in Mark 10:15. Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And He took the children in His arms and He placed His hands on them and blessed them. That's the way God wants us to live, in relationship to Him, leaning on the provider's chest. Living that way, trusting in Him, it makes it so much easier for us to keep perspective on the blessings and not be getting too hung up and complaining when we don't have enough or worried that they're not going to go far enough or thinking somehow if I can just work harder then I'll have more money. It just doesn't make sense. Someone said a meaningful life can only be found in the One who created it. So I conclude. It says the Lord's name, Yahweh. That's what it literally says. I'm not totally sure why we still translate it Lord, but I'm going to find that out as best I can. YHWH or YHVH, Yahweh. He's a strong tower. It's the God of the Bible is a strong tower. And those of us who are righteous, that is, who have the righteousness of Christ, we understand that we run to Him. And there we continue to find our refuge because we understand that He's reliable. That He can be counted on, just like the sun comes up in the morning and shines on us and will set at night. We can predict it and depend on His account of His reliability. Somebody says, how can we be sure? How can we really be sure that we can count on the God of the Bible to see me through my problems here? Here it is. In Romans 8, you know it. To paraphrase, if God is on our side, who can ever be against us? Since He did not even spare His own Son, but freely gave Him up for us all. will he not also, along with him, freely give us all we need here and hereafter? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Surely, if you didn't hold back your own Son, you won't hold back the provisions we need in this life. Help us not to put too much stock or confidence in the gifts and forget you, the giver. Thank you that the scars in Christ's hands show us how far you'll go to provide for us. Oh Lord, as we face life problems, help us to run to you, our great fortress, you, our Heavenly Father, that you may wrap your arms around us, envelop us with your loving embrace as we live in the trials of a broken world. In Jesus' name, amen.